This is Forum. I'm John Michaels, Public Affairs Radio Director. Memorial Day weekend, we're going to remember the USS South Dakota, BB-57, battleship, as it was called, with Karen Dunham. Diane Diekman, president of the Battleship South Dakota Memorial and retired U.S. Navy captain. I guess, first of all, Diane, how did you get involved with the Battleship Memorial as president of the Battleship South Dakota Memorial?
When I first moved back to South Dakota a few years ago, one of the guys at the VFW, who turns out, now I know it's Harry Engberg, told me that they were looking for a captain because the current captain in charge of the Battleship Memorial was 85 years old and he wanted to retire and they needed another captain and would I be interested? And I said, well, I'm an Airedale. I'm involved in naval aviation, but if they wanted me to be in charge of a battleship, I would do it.
And you were a Navy captain in regular service.
Right. I retired as a captain.
Now, Karen, you and your husband, Don Dunham, started the reunions, I believe, back how long ago?
Well, the battleship was dedicated in 69, and I was trying to think if it was 70 or 71 that they had the next reunion, and then they did it thereafter every 2 years. So up until last year, there had been a reunion every 2 years that we had hosted.
Now, at the reunions, many of them talked about the things that they couldn't put on the official papers, you know. Mm-hmm. The real stories came out there. First of all, I guess the first thing that the admiral did, because this was the admiral's ship, mm-hmm. the captain, the first thing when they got to sea was he had them scrub all the paint off everything.
Oh.
Because the paint would burn, cause a fire. So they stripped it down to bare metal. Also, there was a destroyer that had caught fire. The captain of the battleship South Dakota said full steam ahead, ramming speed right at the destroyer. And just before they got there, it was, you know, kind of like that big quick turn, you know, one engine to the forward and one engine reverse. They swung around in the wake, swung over the destroyer and put the fire out.
Hmm.
But they could never put that in the official law because that would have been illegal to do, you know, the stories you hear at the reunions.
That was the USS Smith. I just ran across a photograph the other day and when they talked about that and the captain got a Navy Cross, the captain of the destroyer got a Navy Cross for his actions during that battle.
Like I say, the USS South Dakota was in quite a few battles where it sustained a lot of damage. In fact, the Japanese thought they'd sunk it, what, four times? That's why they called it Battleship X, so that they didn't know it was actually the South Dakota.
Right.
It was known as the Black Prince. It was known as quite a few things, and to the people that served on there back in World War II. The first reunion had how many people do you think? It was quite a few back then.
I think we had between 200 and 300 people, and that included the crew members as well as their families, and a lot of them brought their children along. The biggest member, I think that one crew member brought 22 of his family along. And he consistently did that.
Now, there's only about a half a dozen left of the original people that served on the battleship, South Dakota.
I think there's probably a few more than that, but that, as far as the people that came back here for the reunion, that's about all that were able to make it and to travel last year.
The memorial is something that a lot of people don't realize, and I think, Diane, you were just talking about it earlier, is that it's free. What are the hours that they can go into that museum there?
We're opened earlier this year, so it'll be open all of May, June, July, August, through the end of September. We wanted to have it available for school tours, which were difficult in the past. So the City Park Department agreed to open it 2 extra months this year. And the hours are from 9 to 5 every day of the week, so people can just stop by. There's plenty of room out front to park, usually, unless there's a softball tournament going on. They're welcome to come in and look around.
One other thing that a lot of people don't realize, I see in Wikipedia, that Calvin Graham, who is believed to be the youngest U.S. serviceman to have fought in World War II, served aboard the battleship South Dakota. And he must have been one of those that fibbed about his age when he joined. That doesn't say how young he was, but he was supposedly the youngest U.S. serviceman ever.
He was 12.
Only 12 years old.
12 years old. Mm-hmm.
And served on the battleship South Dakota.
Yes.
There's so many things that we have as heritage here, and we're celebrating 125th anniversary as a state of South Dakota. I think the battleship that we're talking about was the third or fourth Navy ship to be named the South Dakota, going clear back to World War One and earlier, I think.
I think it was the third, because the South Dakota, the armored cruiser, in about 1905 through 1915, I read something recently that said it was the second one. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure what the first South Dakota was, but the BB-57 must have been the third.
I think there's another South Dakota coming up in the wings that's going to be a submarine.
Submarine. Yeah. Oh, yes, yes.
What kind of, this is going to be one of the newest style submarines, I believe, coming up here probably in a couple of years, right?
It's in the process of being built right now. We had the, not the dedication, but the announcement of that, was that last summer? The governor and the lieutenant governor were here, and we did that out at the Battleship Memorial. I think it's hull number 760.
Mm-hmm. Battleship South Dakota would have, it was the Admiral's ship at the time. It had a special extra area, I think, on the
right. It had Admiral's quarters, yes. It was built as a flagship.
Supposedly, it would have been the ship that they would have signed the treaty with Japan on, except it was so beat up and shell-shocked that the some say it was the president that got the Missouri in there first to sign the treaty.
I don't know if the president actually directed it, but some of his staffers or so did, because the Missouri was there, but the South Dakota had won the honor, and the guys on the South Dakota expected it to be their ship, and they were there. And then someone in Washington, D.C., I suppose, thought it would be a really good thing for the president's home state to be honored. So they chose the Missouri, and the surrender took place on the Missouri instead. So Admiral Nimitz had come in, and he was staying on the South Dakota, and then he had to transfer over to the Missouri that day for the ceremony.
It served in both the Atlantic and the Pacific. The Atlantic, it was part of a group of ships that were to counter the German battleship, but the German battleship never left port. So it's been through the Panama Canal a few times.
It has. Well, it had to go back to the East Coast then after the battles of, after Savile Island in November 42. It was so badly damaged, and I guess the West Coast shipyards were busy, so they took it around then to Brooklyn Navy Yard and repaired it. And then when those repairs were finished, then they sent it up to in the area of Norway to work with the British home fleet, where they were trying to get the Von Tirpitz to come out and fight, but it didn't.
13 battle stars it had. Then sold for scrap in 1962. Then Joe Floyd, Kello TV, and a few people went out to see if they could bring back some parts of it. It wasn't so easy. That some of the parts had to, you know, almost be on special rail cars to bring him back to Sioux Falls.
I remember Emmons Nord, who was a captain in the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
He was also very involved in that, and that's how Don and I happened to get involved, was because of our relationship with him in the Reserve Center.
Emmons Nord of Kello TV mm-hmm. was a large part of that. Of course, it was Kello Radio, too, at that time. Mm-hmm. How many people do you think have been through the museum? Do you ever keep track of that? Or it's been quite a few, I know.
I think the numbers last year, there was like 11,000 and
right.
some that came mm-hmm. through last year. So you know, if you say,
I think it's like 11,000-12,000 mm-hmm. a year recently.
Yeah,
and I guess Diane, tell us that we were talking earlier about a young high school kid in, was it Norway or Switzerland?
I'm not sure where he was from, but that was his dream. His folks said that they would give him a trip to wherever he wanted to go for a vacation. I'm not sure if it was for a high school graduation present or what, but he had been reading on the internet about the battleship South Dakota, and he said he wanted to come to Sioux Falls and see this battleship. So they did.
He was a battleship hobbyist or fan. Battleships, you know, like I say, we see the movie Battleship, you know, battling monsters from outer space and that type of thing, you know. And the game Battleship is probably all that young kids today think of, you know, is it's a game, you know. But battleships in World War II were basically huge. Aircraft mm-hmm. carriers have come about since then. But if you saw a battleship off your shore, you know that your goose was cooked.
Yeah.
The projectiles were the size of Volkswagens. Mm-hmm. And they described the noise it made. What was the... You know, when they described the noise that that shell made, it was not like a freight train. It was loud. You know, basically, it made a special noise, didn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know I've heard some of the sailors say that it would shake the entire ship. It would lift the, when the big guns fired, it would lift the ship out of the water partly, and that was a lot of weight to be lifting up. Yeah.
35,000 long tons, they call it, displacement as far as water. And the Alabama, I think, is a similar...
It's a sister ship.
Sister ship, and that, I believe, is in port down in the Gulf Coast, right?
It is. It's a museum in Mobile.
I think that they're taking pictures of the Alabama to kind of make a 3D tour of the South Dakota, because they're almost alike.
Right, because the Alabama is a South Dakota class battleship, so they do want to use the Alabama, and then you look at those photos and you can get an idea of what the South Dakota actually looked like.
They have had several mini reunions in between the reunions here, mm-hmm. so that they can, not everyone can travel as far as from where they live, so it's made it easier to have a mini reunion in that area, so there can be a few people get together at that time.
Well, Karen, you and your husband, Don Dunham, were responsible for a lot of those reunions, and I want to say thank you for that.
Thank you.
Because it was a lot of work. You were the one that did all the mailings of it.
Well, I did the local work.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun doing it. We worked with the chamber in doing some registration forms and packets and things and stuff like that. But we always stood and registered them for a couple of days when they were here for the reunion and things. And got to meet a lot of wonderful people over the years that we had some good relationships with and continue to have some today. I still hear from at least one crew member. And he's now close to 90, I think it is. And he was in Florida this year. He's up in Michigan, I believe, is where they're from originally. But no, we still communicate, and there's still a lot of good friendships that over the years, you know, we had a lot of good time with them.
Well, it's Memorial Day weekend. Is the museum open?
Oh, yes, yes.
Or you can go see it today if you like.
Oh, yes. I was there earlier today.
Well, what do you see when you go in there?
Well, right now when you walk into it, you see a display of mannequins in uniform, and then you have to walk around them, and you can see a model of the battleship and such, and our design plan that we're currently working on to remodel the interior will allow so that in the future when you walk into it, right now if you go there from the outside, you see the outline of what the actual size of the ship was. Well, then our goal is that when you walk inside the museum, the first thing you'll be able to see is the model, and that will give you an idea of what it was you were just viewing outside. Right now, there's a lot of pictures on the walls and things like that to look at.
And the concrete outline is the size of the ship, 680 feet long, 108 feet wide as its beam. There's been some volunteers, I think, over the last few months trying to scrape and repaint and fix that up a little bit.
Yeah, so Robert Ruff has a crew that he's been working out there. And you know, every few years it has to be repainted and scraped and painted. So he's been putting in a lot of time volunteering to do that.
I think there's a high pressure wash company that's been helping with that too. A lot of volunteers. I think David Whitty is one that we want to mention that's been on the board for a long time. He got those 50 caliber machine gun turret things. They've just brought that back in the last few years, right? That's something that they've added.
Right. They brought more components of it that had been in storage someplace else, I guess. And yes, David was president of the memorial for 22 years till he retired this last fall.
Anyone else that we can, Don Dunham, of course, you, Karen, David Whitty. There's a few other names that have been with this for quite a few years.
Well, Raleigh Samp.
Raleigh Samp, yes. Mm-hmm. I think he was one that maybe went to the original when they went to, you know, find what they could bring back from New York at that time. The rest of it got into, they say, made into razor blades, I guess, huh?
I don't know. There was a lot of the teak wood that they were selling and giving away back mm-hmm. here over the years and things like this. And this one crew member that I still communicate with, he made me a little clock out of the teak wood that he'd gotten from the ship and brought that back a couple reunions ago. And so there's, you know, they had keychains they sold at the memorial years ago. And so there's been some things like that as keepsakes that were made from some of the pieces of the ship.
And we still do have pieces of teak wood. There can still be things made mm-hmm. from it.
I think I've got a coin that was a fundraiser mm-hmm. that was made out of the metal of...
From that, yeah.
And Diane Dickman, you're a captain. What is it about the camaraderie on a ship, that lives on for a lifetime?
Well, any time you're with a group of people and you're dedicated to a mission and you work together and play together, you develop it a kind of a fraternity. You become, and you take care of each other, so you're important to each other, and that never ends. In particular, here in a case of wartime, which obviously I didn't experience, but going through the combat and seeing your buddies die and those who survived, and then of course there's always the sea stories you tell, bring back the memories, but they form lifelong bonds that way.
You have to be part of it to know what we're talking about, I guess. And this is Memorial Day, for all services, the Air Force, the Army, the Coast Guard, all of that. But I think it's a fact that more people from South Dakota have joined the Navy than any other service. And I did, my draft notice was in the mail, so I quick joined the Navy. But the thing about it is we're from a landlocked state. Is it just because we know better than to dig in the mud or what?
Well, that may be part of it. I mean, that is a question I couldn't tell you how many times over the years someone has said to me, you're from South Dakota? Why'd you join the Navy? There's no water in South Dakota.
We have the Missouri. But the South Dakota Memorial is Memorial Day weekend. And it's interesting, I think, Mary, because a lot of people who live in Sioux Falls probably have never been there. It's all the people that come by or come through Sioux Falls that stop. But it's like a reunion, a class reunion. Everybody comes from out of town, but the people in town probably put it off and then they thought it was too late and they're too embarrassed to go.
I think you're right.
Yes, that always irritates me. It's all the out-of-towners come to the reunions and the people who live there won't even bother.
But the battleship is one thing that people do come off the interstate to see. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we got the Great Plains Zoo right next to it and 78 parks in South Dakota. Or Sioux Falls, so many things that Sioux Falls is in the top 10 list for retirement and other things and that type of thing right now. But Karen, I guess, what is your fondest memory of all of those reunions that you and Don put together over all those years?
I don't know. There's been a lot of good times that we've had with the people. probably you had mentioned Calvin Graham, and I was mentioning, that we were fortunate to have their friendship when they were here for one of their last reunions and things like this. And he struggled to get a pension. And I don't know if he ever did get any military benefits. He passed away and things like that without him, I think. And, but there was a movie made about him. You probably remember that. I think it was called So Young, the Hero or something
like that. Too Young, the Hero with Ricky Schroeder.
With Ricky Schroeder, yeah. And so, I mean, he was an interesting person. And we enjoyed that. It was the 4th of July, so we shot firecrackers and things, which was a new experience for them. But we've also had other good relationships with some of the other crew members. And I guess you get a little envious thinking that all these guys, 20, 30, 40, 50 years later, with their relationships with each other as they come back and renew their friendships and things like that. And the sad part about it is there's probably a few people that might be left that probably never knew the battleship was here or even know about the reunion.
It's the new generation coming up that we can create some awareness and education. A ship that was commissioned in 1941 does anybody know how many miles in the Pacific and the Atlantic it sailed before it was decommissioned in 1947? It lived you might say a short life, but for a battleship, the beating it took and the fact the Japanese thought it was sunk four times, it was amazing the amount that it accomplished in just those few years.
Mm-hmm. It did. It definitely accomplished a lot in the time it had, and it served its mission.
Battleship X, the Black Prince. It's a heritage of South Dakota that we had. It had guns that were, 18-inch barrels? 16-inch barrels, yeah. 16 by 5-inch. 68 40 millimeter guns, 76 20 millimeter guns, Speed was about 32 miles an hour. That's about that's pretty fast for even today's standards, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Of course, they kept it a secret back then. Had 2,364 officers and men on board. That's bigger than a lot of cities in Sioux Falls. I mean, South Dakota.
That's true. That is true.
I mean, they had their own barber shops. They had everything. It was a small town on
Yeah, you have to mm-hmm. be self-contained.
That's exactly right.
I often wonder how much fuel that it burned to push that thing across the water, in a sense. But the Boilermakers would be able to tell me on that. But it really had quite an effect in the Japanese arena. Anybody say how many ships it maybe sunk? Or
I'm not a history buff like Diane is. I'm not sure.
No, I don't know that it did. But in a lot of cases, as I've heard some of the sailors say, it's hard to identify who actually shot down a plane or anything like that, because when all the ships are firing at the same time, then it's often hard to credit.
Well, with her guns could fire over the horizon with radar. And they probably didn't even see the ship they were firing at with those big guns.
Right, and that was the first ship to fire on the mainland of Japan.
Wow, what a history. Well, the museum, what are the regular hours at the museum at the Battleship X?
Well, it's 9 to 5, and we have something new this year that wasn't there last year. We did some construction in the West Wing. We built a couple walls in there, and we installed two new computer kiosks, and we're digitizing a lot of our photos. And one of the really neat things about that is when you look at the photos on the computer screen, and you can zoom in and you can get a lot of detail of these old historic photos that you couldn't see by looking at an 8x10 on the wall. So that's the first phase of our redoing the inside. And then we are starting a fundraising program so that we can raise the money and redo the whole interior of it over the winter. And we're hoping to have a new look inside for next year. Since its beginning, it's been a repository for the sailors who were on the battleship. And there's a lot of them have donated a lot of their things, and their family members have donated it. Now that most of them are gone, and as you said, the younger generations don't know much about World War II, so that's a large reason why we want to redo this, with a focus on the make it more 21st century, so that kids can come in and can learn about the war and the battleship and different things about it. And instead of being memories of the sailors who were on the ship, we're changing it so that it will teach the future what it was like back then, and hope that they will be interested in learning more about history.
Looking at the Wikipedia here, the Battle of Santa Cruz, South Dakota was with the Enterprise and the Hornet carrier groups. During the attack, the South Dakota suffered a 500-pound bomb from a dive bomber on its front turret. But after everything was done, she had fired 890 rounds of 5-inch shells, 4,000 rounds of 40-millimeter, 3,000 rounds of 1.1-inch, 52,000 rounds of 20-millimeter ammunition during that time, and was credited with shooting down 26 Japanese planes. Just think of those battles. I mean, we think of the things we see in movies and on TV, but if you were in that ship with all those airplanes and all of that task force and all of those, everybody shooting at once at that time, just what that must have been like. To have been maybe down in the hole loading the gunpowder or something like that, you know. But the South Dakota, like I say, made quite a name for her, and is, you know, great representation of South Dakota, the state, during our 125th anniversary of the spirit that we have. But this was at a time in World War II when we didn't have all of the computers and the things that we do today. But she was quite a ship to the Japanese. I would think would say that South Dakota made quite a bee in their hat. Now, what's next? Are we going to have maybe any more reunions? Because most of them can't come anymore.
No. it was decided, I believe, last time that the mini reunion in Alabama would probably be their last chance of having a reunion, just because of the ability of traveling with their age and things that, you know, it's very difficult for them to do. The second generation, which are the children and grandchildren of the crew members and things, Diane, who was Larry Mayday's, who is Larry Mayday's daughter, who was on the ship, her and her sister and things have taken kind of charge of that. There's also a few other crew members' children that are working on that, but she's the one that puts out the newsletter to the crew members and maintains their site for the battleship on the national level.
Now, there's a South Dakota Battleship website, I believe.
Yes, there is. www.usssouthdakota.com.
Just looking at those pictures and seeing those guns bristling, and especially those huge, huge guns that only a battleship could carry, that is quite an impressive thing to take a look at. Now, are they, is that tour of the ship that they're making with the Alabama, is that being finished or is that still being worked on?
I haven't heard lately what the status on that is. I'm not sure if they got the funding to go down there and do the virtual tour.
Well, that can be something that if there's any young students out there that want to be a part of history, they maybe can ask to be a part of. The South Dakota, is it open 7 days a week?
Yes.
So 9 to 5 pretty much any day of the week?
Yes, during the summer months.
And during Memorial Day, so make sure you make the cemeteries, do the remembrance of those who served, and take a look at the South Dakota. Take your kids, take your grandkids. Be a perfect thing to do, you know, for a grandfather to take their kids to the battleship South Dakota, and to let them realize that this country is a large part of a global aspect, that we enjoy the freedoms that we have. The next thing for the battleship group, what's on the drawing board for the group now?
Well, it's the renovation of the interior, the fundraising, and Raleigh Samp is in charge of that project, but he's working on what it takes to organize a fundraising operation to come up with the money. And we're working with Split Rock Studios out of the Twin Cities. They're the ones that helped with the what we did in the West End. We hired JTM Construction to build us a couple walls, and then the displays on the walls. If people come in there and look at the display on the West Wall, that will give them an idea of what the entire memorial will look like later on. It won't be the just all the photos on the walls that we have now. Those will be mostly in the computer kiosk, and there will be displays that tell a story, so that people can learn about the power plant on the ship, or they can learn about the communications in command, or the overview of the whole World War II, and can walk around and in these different aspects of it. So we're really excited about that, and we're hoping that we can come up with the money to do this project over the winter.
Well, maybe somebody can dedicate a memorial to help fund that. The aspect of the South Dakota Battleship X, Battleship South Dakota, soon to be the name of a new submarine. When is that going to be christened?
I don't know. I would guess within the next 2 years.
Possibly the next governor will probably be there, or his wife, to christen it, like the old battleship. It was the governor of South Dakota's wife to christen it.
I would expect, mm-hmm. Yes.
So that'll be a large part of our heritage. Again, we're a landlocked state, but South Dakota, when you watch the old war movies, you watch the old Navy battles, the battleship South Dakota was the shining star of a lot of those 13 battle stars, supposedly sunk by the Japanese 4 times, I believe. And that's why they called it Battleship X, the Black Prince, as it was called in the Atlantic Ocean tours. Karen Dunham and Diane Diekman. Diane Diekman is president of the Battleship South Dakota Memorial and retired U.S. Navy captain, too. Want to thank you for being with us on this Memorial Day weekend.
Thank you, John. Appreciate
it. Thank you.